Do you think, does the archivist or archival process, do you see it changing much, or is it one of those things where it's pretty constant in terms of the issues that you face,
I think the big change would be, or is changing. Now, I've so far been lucky not to have to deal with it, but electronic records are still an issue and how to preserve them. I still don't get the sense in a lot of respects that we know how to preserve them for long term. How to make those ones and zeros on a memory stick somewhere be readable 100, 200, 300 years down the road.
I never thought of that. That's really cool.
That's the fear that a lot of this information will eventually get lost over time, because you have to remember we're here to preserve documents, the information in perpetuity with electronic records, because there's a constant change in terms of hardware and software. Where are we going to be even 50 years down the road, 100 years? Is that material going to be available still to the public?
I never thought of that. That's a really cool point.
So that's a great fear and for the archival community as to what we do with this massive information that's heading our way.
So, would that mean, for example, like information saved on a USB stick or?
Well, any electronic digital information, however it's formatted. There's a lot of information that's on floppy disks. Computers don't try to find a computer to read the floppy disk now.
That is really cool. I know that's a neat thing. So, how then would that, yeah, I never thought how that would work. Let's say somebody brings in, set of floppy disks. And you're not able to find a computer that would run those anymore, which I'm sure we're getting to that point. I haven't seen a floppy disk drive in a long time. How do, would you just, preserve them in like the best environment and hope the technology returns, or?
Well, or you try to find a service that still can convert those to a more current format. Our computers don't have floppy drives on them anymore. And the newer computers don't even have CD drives or DVD drives on them anymore. So that becomes a problem. So hopefully there's a service out there that can take those old floppy disks, either the 5 1/4 or the 3 1/2, and can still convert those to something that we can read today. We did run across a problem a number of years ago where we got a 3 1/4 flop or 3 1/2 floppy disk from one of the departments, and it was password protected, and nobody at the department knew what the password was. So we couldn't even though we still had a floppy drive, just it was totally useless because we couldn't even open the files in it.
That's such an interesting problem. I never would have thought of that. Yeah, because now that I think about it, I just think in my own life how many random USB sticks, floppy disks, CDs I've come across, or I've forgotten what's on them, or password protected. It's interesting because I feel like that is a whole different set of problems. I don't know what the actual problems in terms of like the physical structure. Whether a USB stick will, if preserved, will last longer than, say, a piece of paper. But the actual problem of getting to what's ever in there is such a bigger challenge.
Yeah,
I feel
well,
like it's like
that's
the reverse problem. Paper, it's maybe hard to store, especially if you had a lot of it, but
well,
easy to
that paper
access.
is its volume, right? It's the expensive volume. They take up a lot. It takes up a lot of space. We basically know how to preserve paper, so that's not an issue. The issue is space and the cost of storing paper. The opposite with electronic records is there's so much of it, because storage costs so little. So you get a lot of volume of information, and then the constant change and evolution of the way to retrieve that information. In the last 25 years, we've gone from 5 1/4 floppy drive to a storage flash drive. 25 years, that's nothing.
Do you have any thoughts on like possible solutions? Should there be some type of is there regulation in place right now governing some of this stuff, like requiring city offices to
I'm not aware of the city saying. My argument right now for anybody, if it has to be kept in perpetuity, like council minutes or any other document that needs to be kept by law, I would say print them out on paper, and for preferably acid-free paper, but I mean, paper better anyways, because we know, again, we know how to preserve it. And I mean, the other thing is, it takes very little to read paper. You know, to read a document on a computer, on your cell phone or on whatever, there's a lot of technology that goes into allowing you to do that, right? I mean, just beyond the technology of the program, the technology of the computer, the cell phone, you need electricity. So you need the support structure of that as well. There isn't much that you need to support reading a paper document. We've been making paper for centuries. We've been making ink for centuries. All you need is natural light to read a paper document. So it's very simple. So where it gets very complex when you digitize something.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. It's interesting because there's such an emphasis nowadays on going paperless.
And that's being driven more by cost than anything else, and convenience.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it now. I never thought about this aspect of it before. Yeah, so the paperless craze is definitely there's a cost to it. There's a convenience in having to print things out. To ask kind of a dumb question, or a question you might not be able to answer, because who can see the future, but like, so 25, 30 years from now, does yourself and your colleagues in the archival community, are you kind of seeing this problem coming of just so many documents being lost, to passwords that have been lost, or, you know, technology not being able to read? If you put everything on a USB stick and USB goes the way of the floppy disk.
Well, I mean, I read a number of years ago, the 1960 U.S. Census was put on punch cards. Nobody has a punch card reader anymore. So a lot of that information has been lost off the punch card readers because we don't have them. I've heard that, you know, the last decade of the 20th century, more information was lost because of this evolution in information storage than at any time prior to that. I don't know how true that is, but, you know, I've heard that a lot of information has been lost because we can't retrieve it anymore. You know, the files have become corrupted, or the program it's on is no longer readable because we've moved on to other software, or the hardware is no longer available. An example I heard is that Queen's University has the records of a writer, a local Kingston, Ontario writer. And she put it on one of her writings, her stories on one of the original Apple computers. Well, they have to save that Apple computer because they have no way of transferring that information off that hard drive to something else. So they've got to keep that one computer going somehow, because once that computer no longer can function, all that information on that computer will be lost.
Do you have any thoughts as to, this is really neat, I'll have to find somebody to follow up with. Anybody watching this, if you are a technology guy or you have some thoughts on this, leave a comment, because I think this is this is just like talking about the archives. You know, one thing I love about the podcast is somebody bringing something up that you weren't expecting, but that gets you thinking, that gets you thinking about it, right? And this is
in a lot of ways, it scares me because I'm always thinking long-term. As an archivist, you think long-term because you're always thinking, okay, we're preserving this for future generations. And I'm thinking, how do you preserve these electronic records for future generations when you can't even preserve them for a couple of a couple of years, not less a couple of decades.
It's funny. Do you worry that people don't think long-term?
Most people don't.
Do you worry about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What worries you about that?
Well, the simple fact that the information is going to get lost, so that we're not going to be able to retrieve it. One of the solutions being proposed or has been thrown around is migrating information constantly. So as new technologies come out, migrating the information to a new format or whatever you have. And I'm thinking, that sounds nice, but who's going to do it? You know, it's, people just get busy with other things. They don't think about a document that's 10 years old to migrate to a new, you know, program or whatever you have. So it just gets forgotten, and then eventually somebody goes, oh, what was this? And, you know, when they finally discover it, they can't access it anymore. It's inaccessible. So that information is now lost.
The thinking long-term, I think, is something you would have. Being an archivist, you're always going to be thinking long-term, and it's something I've tried to do, again, with my involvement with the Windsor Masonic Temple. Negative side of technology is it's really causing everybody to think very, very short term, especially social media. It seems like, you know, everything's minute by minute.
Right, yep.
You know, I remember, I can't think of who it was now, but I love space and science and all that jazz. Even though I'm an idiot, I still like to research it. And they were talking about, you know, it's possible to get to, maybe not a human being, but to send a probe out and get somewhere in, you know, far out of our solar system in a couple hundred years. But nobody thinks that's worth it because it's 200 years down the line.
Right.
But meanwhile, you know, you look back in antiquity, Masons, for example, you know, it would regularly, you would start building projects that would not be completed until 200 years, you know. You weren't expected to finish a project in somebody's lifetime. Some of these big cathedrals, King Solomon's Temple, I mean, it was expected to be three or four lifetimes
before
you got to the finished product. Now, if it's not done in 5 minutes,
it's not worth doing.
Yeah, it's too long.
Yeah.
Do you think that, have you always tended to think in the long term, or is that something that being an archivist has really shown you the value of?
I think being an archivist certainly has shown me the value of it. I think, and trying to remember when I was younger, and, you know, the here and now was kind of important, and maybe tomorrow wasn't as big an issue. But as you get older, I think you start to appreciate the past more, you know, and how to make sure that past will be around for future generations to appreciate.
And also how what you do today will be around for.
Yes, yeah.
Going back to the point, right? Putting something on a USB stick may be good for you now.
Today, but what about 10 years, 20, 100, 500 years from now?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the...
Like, the oldest document we have here dates from the 1780s. You know, we can read it, I can pull it out, and you can read it easy. Is something electronic, can you go 220 years from now or 240 years ahead with that same electronic document be available to read easily?
Well, the punch cards, right? That's just the 1960s.
Yeah.
The
I mean, there's all sorts of examples of technology that has become obsolete, and the information on them has been lost.
I'm wondering if you have any ideas, because there is the, you know, the paperless, quote unquote paperless craze. Obviously, that is a convenient thing. It's a convenience thing. It's a cost thing, right? It's also, I'm sure some are doing it out of the goodness of their, you know, a desire for the environment, for environmental concerns, if they're worried about excessive printing of paper. And I know I've worked in offices where I've been worried as the amount of paper that we're using. But how do we, do you have any thoughts about, like, where the balance is, how you can be cognizant of those things, but also cognizant of the need to preserve these for the future? Even something like smaller fonts, or like, I don't know, so you can use less paper?
Well, I mean, is there an environmental damage if it's something you're going to preserve for future generations? I mean, you're not throwing it into the garbage or something like that. It's being going to be preserved, you know, put away, stored correctly. I mean, I'm not sure if computers are as green as people want to make them out to be. I mean, there's all sorts of e-waste out there that's being dumped on developing countries. I mean, I don't want to go down that road.
I think it's a cool road to go down.
It's as green as a lot of... it drives me nuts because people say, oh, it's green. And I'm thinking, if you really start looking at it, it isn't. And those computers and those server farms use up a lot of electricity. And I've read that the internet counts for 10% of all CO2 emissions worldwide. But I mean, so it kind of I have a bit of an issue when people say, you know, we're going electronic because it's greener, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not quite sure I buy that argument as much.
And there must be ways to, yeah, even something as simple as like printing double-sided, you know, there's ways to mitigate it if the concern.
Well, I mean, there's certainly, you don't need to print everything out. If it's an ephemeral item that's, you know, you're looking at it and then that's the end of it, you really need to print that out. But I mean, things like minutes of a business meeting or council minutes, or things that you're going to preserve and need to be kept because legally you have to keep them. That to me makes sense in printing those out and storing them correctly and all that, because you're going to keep those. But something you're not going to keep for very long, yeah, I don't see the point in the value of maybe printing that out just because you want a hard copy for a day and you throw it in the recycle bin tomorrow kind of thing.
Thinking of, yeah, just thinking of, you know, the Windsor Masonic Temple again, you know, we are our first. The oldest lodge to meet at the Windsor Masonic Temple is Great Western Lodge. And I can't even think of what it dates to now. It's over 150 years old.
Yes, Great Western Railway arrived, I can speak, in 1854. So sometime around
1854, that time. That's the date. There we go. Because I was thinking 1845, I got them mixed up, and I was like, that's not right. 1854 is when Great Western Lodge was founded.
Yeah.
But you can still, you know, find the minute books.
Oh, yeah.
And the legend from 1854, not so much from, you know, I would suggest that I have an easier time finding minutes from the 18th century or the 19th century than I would necessarily from, you know, 10 months ago, necessarily, unless you print them out, if they're on a USB stick.
Well, exactly. Where are they? You know, who's got the USB stick and where is it sitting kind of thing? Where, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a value to electronic records because, again, you can put them online and then anywhere in the world you can access those records. Where if they're on a ledger, you have to physically come to the location where they're housed to look at them. So there's that benefit to dissemination of that information.